Hello, I'm RJ City, and you are listening to the Monster Cast. You're going to talk about Bela Lugosi. They're going to talk about Lon Chaney Jr. He'd be so sad, holding his hat, saying, "Please put me in this room and don't unlock the door." And you can't do any better than the Dahl brothers, Jack and Ryan. They're brothers, but they're also bros. What? Pardon? Wrestling. Well, who the hell wants to talk about wrestling? These are horror movies. It's the deep genre. It's a smart genre. Fantastic actors. Fantastic cinematography. Wrestling is just sweating and fireworks and bouncy ropes. There's nothing so happy. You talk about that every week. All right. Let's see them try. Take it away, you crazy dolls.
You.
Jesus, fuck. Fuck my fucking ass. What the fuck? Please shut up.
No. Master
Please
Watto is a
shut
champion.
Up.
You're gonna put some respect
Stop
on his
fucking
name
saying
now.
Master Watto on this fucking show.
IWGP Junior Heavyweight Co-Champion.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross App of Fightful here. You're watching the Monster Cast with Jack and Ryan. A big shout out to those fellas. Good people. Check them out.
Oh my god! What is this?
It looks
Who is
like a TV.
The New Japan titles. They need to stop making titles.
It looks like a TV, bro. They took it too literally. That's the problem.
They should have just turned it into a TV. I would have been more impressed.
That would have been cooler.
Put some antennas on the top.
No, just make it like a digital title. Like it, you could display whatever you want on the digital.
Oh, like
title.
An LCD screen.
Yeah.
And then have the picture of the person that's the champ. That'd be so good. That'd be worth it.
Wrestling podcast. How fucking original.
Jake and Brian. Brandon Cutler here from AEW, and I hope you guys have an awesome podcast with the Monster Cast. What was that? Your name is Jack and Ryan? Shut up, Jack and Ryan.
Tell me who you would sign first.
Hiroshi Tanahashi.
No, not overall, genius. Between the two goddamn examples I'm about to give you.
Master Wada.
Killer Cross or Dominik Dijakovic, who are you signing first?
Killer Cross, 100%.
What the fuck?
Absolutely.
Wrong! That no, answer is wrong!
I would.
Oh my god.
You don't know shit! Your opinions suck!
I guess I just, I mean... You're welcome.
But I don't think I've ever said boo.
I will.
That's so stupid.
I'll do it.
Boo.
You can't. Don't actually say the word because that's why it sounds weird. You got it. It's like more like a note. Boo. You don't fucking actually say boo.
No.
Boo. Boo. Ah. Boo. Boo. You don't turn it into a fucking chant. You actually have to.
I will. I'm gonna do that at Forbidden Door.
You
too.
Start a boo chant. Boo.
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 Boo. Boo. Boo.
Here's your host of the Monster Cast, the Straight Edge Monster Jack and Ryan.
Hello and welcome to the Monster Cast. I am your host, the Straight Edge Monster Jack. That's Ryan Rockwell. It is January 21st, 24, and it is Rumble Week. It is Rumble Week this week. Going to be interesting. The first huge pay-per-view, or PLE, I should say, for WWE in the new year. Now, we got a huge show for you today. Now, last week I had a hockey game on Saturday. Wasn't as bad the day after with the voice, but it was still not great. And with all the stuff that was going on in wrestling as well, I came back. I fell asleep so fast watching the first show, Battle in the Valley. Mm. Not because it was boring. Battle in the Valley was great, but because I was tired as fuck. So I had to watch Battle in the Valley. Okay, so no joke. So Saturday night, obviously we all know that you've got Rampage on Friday, which I did not watch yet. Then you got Collision on Saturday. And then you had Battle in the Valley and Hard to Kill from TNA. I had four fucking shows I had to watch. There was no way with, I won't say like really sore throat or anything like last time, but it was, I could feel it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't as bad. I could talk. It wasn't that bad. This time I did have a drink throughout the hockey game, so that made it a little bit better than just going in there with no fucking drink for 3 hours yelling at the top of my lungs like a dumbass. But this time the team won, so I got that monkey off my shoulders, so I don't have to think that I'm the one jinxing them like I did with the Shuckers when I was going to all those baseball games and they never won. But the Seawolves did end up winning in overtime. I was scared for a second. I told the old couple behind me, literally, I was like, hey, were you guys here last night? Because I had watched that game on YouTube, and they ended up winning 4-0 against the same team that we were watching. And they're like, yeah, we were here. It was awesome. And I was like, oh, I'm just letting you know, the first game that I came to, they lost 5-2. So if they lose tonight, I'm sorry. And they started laughing. I was like, oh, couple, I'm pretty sure they're season ticket holders. And then when they were down 2-0 after the first period, I turned around. And I was like, sorry, guys. Sorry, dude. Sorry, this has got to be my fault. Got to be. And then they came all the way back and scored to tie it, to send it to overtime with like 16 seconds left, dude. I high-fived the old lady, the old dude behind me, like I was going fucking nuts. And then they ended up winning with about 26 seconds left in overtime. Another 26 seconds, they would have had to go to a shootout, which would have been insane because I've never seen a shootout live either. But that would have been awesome, too. But it was a great time. But it is safe to say that I did not have enough time between the time that I got back home, being tired of shit, ordering my emergency Domino's pizza, which is not a free pizza, by the way, for anybody that sees those commercials. You still have to spend $17 minimum to get the free pizza. So that commercial is completely fucking pointless.
$17 in a fucking emergency.
Completely pointless. Exactly. I hope you want more than a fucking just the free pizza. I hope you're really hungry. You're like, what? That's so dumb. Anyway.
Well, it's weird because the ads are always like one person at home too, aren't
they? Yeah, one person, and then the one person pops out of nowhere with the one pizza, and that's it. No, yeah. Motherfucker, you got to order a shit ton of stuff. But I found a way to break the system. I just ordered some Cinnatwist because I love Cinnatwist, and then I ordered just enough garlic sauce cups to hit $17.
Oh, okay, so it's got to be $17 including the price of the pizza. Or did you just get like 80 fucking garlic cups?
The Cinnatwist was like six something, but I think
how many fucking garlic cups did you get?
They're like $1.50 a piece at fucking Domino's. They're not. You don't get the free one like Papa John's all the time. You actually have to buy the Domino's ones no matter what. It's fucking bullshit.
Whole goddamn armload of.
I had like five of them. I think I had like five. I think he gave me five. It was Cinnatwist and something else. Maybe
beating the system. I think you just got fucking ripped off.
No, there's no way. I barely went over 17.
But what I'm saying is that
they had nothing there that was going to be just the same amount, though. So, like, I am beating the system because I eat garlic sauce all the time, bro.
The value of the item, the garlic sauce can't be like how much could it cost to make your own garlic sauce? But it's got to be.
No, dude, you can't make that shit. That shit is good as fuck.
All right,
there's no way. I've tried. I've even tried some other places that are like other things that say it's the garlic sauce and it's not. The Papa John's and the Domino's garlic sauce from these pizza places, it's not good for you. I can tell you that. I can taste that in it, but it's not something you can make. The amount of chemicals I would have to buy to make my own. But anyway, the point is I can use that with frozen pizzas and stuff. So no, I win. I win.
I don't think I would count that as a win.
It's a win.
Showed them I got $17
worth of garlic sauce and some Cinnatwist. It was worth it. All
right.
Well, worth it in the end if you do it that way. It was not going to be worth it at all if you try to do it the way they wanted to, because they just automatically assume that you're just going to go way over $17, too. Yeah. So, like, yeah, it's bullshit, dude. I was so pissed. Anyway, won't be doing that again.
Not a sponsor, Domino's.
But, yeah, definitely not. Domino's will never be a sponsor. Domino's is the worst out of the three. They're trash compared to the three major chains. I'd rather have Papa John's and Pizza Hut every day over those two. And Marco's. We have a Marco's here, too, and Marco's is really good. I know they're in the top four. I just don't know the actual order. But a lot of people don't have Marco's, so I was actually surprised to see them that high. But they are in the top four, I'm pretty sure, for major pizza chains.
You know, in Canada, Little Caesars is just called Pizza Pizza.
Oh, I'm not a huge fan of Little Caesars. There's a lot of people that I know that love Little Caesars, and I don't. I mean, it's basically a step up from CeCe's. Like, I don't understand. They don't even know what the fucking sauce is at Little Caesars. They don't know how to put sauce on pizza, bro.
Well, the margins are all in the dough markup, so there you go.
It would be hilarious to remember that time. Remember that time that our dad, he was a sucker for a good deal. Still is, I'm sure. But McDonald's had like this throwback to like, it was like their anniversary or some shit.
Oh, so they're the like, original 19 whatever prices.
Yeah, the original. Like so he buys like fucking 40 hamburgers and 20 cheeseburgers. And there was one of them that came back and didn't have a fucking patty on it. Because they were making them, I guess they were making so many of them that some dude just forgot to fucking put the patty on it. He literally had one of them that didn't have any, like, one was, like, the regular hamburgers was, like, 25 cent and the cheeseburgers were 35 cent, you know, some weird shit like that from the prices back then. Yeah, it was funny as fuck. I'll always remember that shit. That shit was funny. That man lives there. This fucking thing doesn't have a patty on it. They literally gave him two pieces of bread and one of them tried to sneak that one in. They're like, nah, we ran out. We ain't got time to make no more shit. Just give him one without a fucking meat patty on it. No big deal.
Got some ketchup on it. It's good.
ketchup and some slivered onions.
Yeah.
Yum. All right. So anyway,
it's a vegetarian.
Anyway, there's no way I was gonna be up all day, go to a hockey game, come back, fill my belly with pizza, and not be done in 20 minutes while I watch the first show that I had to watch. I had four fucking wrestling shows before Sunday, and when I got back and got the pizza, it was almost Sunday already.
Yeah, I guess that's how time works. Battle in the Valley was, I think, so I was watching Battle in the Valley and Collision at the same time in two different windows, and then I know TNA was on, I think, at the same time as those three too. I think TNA had started a little bit earlier, but I was seeing people in the fight chat for Battle in the Valley talking about the TNA results or whatever, so that was interesting.
The Hard to Kill was actually pretty good. It just, I don't like Moose as champion, obviously.
Someone in to take it off of him immediately, so there you go.
But still, didn't like it. Alex Shelley could have done the same thing.
Hmm.
All right.
You think they have Ziggler go on a belt collector run? You just.
The only two options for that type of story right now is him and Ali, right? Because they're the ones fucking everywhere right now.
Yeah.
I just saw Ali took a picture with Lufisto. He was up there in fucking Canada or some shit wrestling. So, yeah, he's everywhere.
Yeah.
And Ziggler's everywhere, or Nick Nemeth. We should start saying Nemeth, I guess. He's everywhere as well. We have a very positive show for you overall, though. Besides me just not liking Moose being the world champion.
Where was I just hearing something about Lufisto? It's like an old story. I was watching, for some fucking reason, I don't know why, I was watching an old episode of the Kevin Steen show, and he was doing the interview with Chuck Taylor, and they were talking about how they had Lufisto take the belt off of Owens, the Iron Man Championship, when he had to leave for like a month or whatever it was, and he pitched that to Zandig or whatever, and he was like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, that's good, we've never had a woman, yeah, okay.
I like the shoot interview he does with Jimmy Jacobs where he tells him about the time he got in trouble with his dad.
I said that to somebody 2 days ago, yeah.
Yeah, he was playing with his action figures. I was 16, bro, and he starts fucking Jimmy Jacobs just fucking breaks.
He says 17.
Whatever. Still.
It's even worse.
Still.
Yeah.
It was funny as fuck, dude.
I was 17.
That man said I wanted to make the glass sound for the goddamn Austin entrance and threw a mug at the wall.
But it was a regular wall.
It's not even fucking glass.
And the wall was just like a, it wasn't brick.
All right. So we got a huge positive show for you. I'm very hyped actually right now. We're up right now, buddy. We're up on this show. It's almost like Tony Khan is watching our show. We are up. Actually, not just Tony Khan. All of wrestling owners are watching our show. AEW rankings are back. Okay. I've been calling for rankings on this show pretty much ever since we realized that they were no longer on AEW. Like, what the hell? I understand that they ran into a lot of issues where as far as, like, injuries, a lot of injuries were happening at once, and they were bringing a lot of new people in, and you cannot just have those new people go against all these other people if there's a lot of people out with injuries, so how are you going to build them up to get the title matches and stuff? So they went away, and I had been calling. I was like, man, I really hope at the beginning of 2024 they just bring the rankings back. Because, yeah, we understand what happened or whatever. But I don't want it to be a WCW situation where, you know, once every 3 years you try to do this again and then you just can't keep up with it. Tony Khan has enough people in place with his analytics department that he has involved with this shit that they should be able to keep up with this, okay?
Now, well, he's also a big analytics guy himself.
Like, yes, exactly. Yeah. Which is why he wanted the rankings to begin with. And he wants a more sports-based presentation, and so does Danielson. And I think Okada likes that as well with his visit that came. So we're up big time right now with the AEW rankings being back. In WWE, Pete Dunne, baby! Let's fucking go! Pete Dunne is back, and they're a legit tag team now with Tyler Bate, which is I've been fucking calling for that for a year and a half, maybe 2 years on this fucking show.
Yep.
Then we get the Steel Cage Elimination Style Trios match next week on Collision with FTR and Garcia versus House of Black. I've been calling for any kind of fucking Elimination Style match at all for fucking AEW. Especially, I was gearing it more towards like a three-way dance and the four-way dances and stuff like that. But I'm cool with this. This is fucking awesome too. Inside of a steel cage. That's not something that you see all the time or if ever. We definitely haven't seen it in AEW yet. Then you got Minoru Suzuki versus Adam Copeland on Dynamite coming up. This is the kind of shit that we were talking on the show. These are the kind of matches that we want to see Copeland in, not against Christian fucking 40 times. We want to see him against the Shibatas and the Suzukis.
Christian
and
match
fucking
was
people
good,
that
though.
We never thought we would fucking see ever.
Yeah.
That's what we want. I want to see him versus Takeshita. I want to see him against Omega. I want to see him against those guys. Like, that's the kind of shit we want to see. We're finally going to start getting some of that. I'm cool with that. So basically all things I've been calling for on the show at various points. So I'm very hyped. I'm way up right now on wrestling across the board. Royal Rumble's around the corner. That's my favorite pay-per-view for WWE. So that's awesome.
I feel like Royal Rumble's the most like accessible to introduce someone to wrestling too. Because you remember like forever ago, it was like 7 years ago, I think, when Danny was with me and we were watching Royal Rumble at mom and dad's house back in Leland. So maybe longer, 7 years ago. I don't know. It was a long fucking time ago. It was when you were doing one of your get-togethers for it. I remember it was the Royal Rumble. Well, she watched that. And I remember like 2 months later, I was watching wrestling at the house and somebody throws somebody over the top rope, just like in a normal ass match. And she's like, well, that guy loses, right? I was like, no, what are you talking about? She's like, well, that's how it was in the other.
Damn, if it was 7 years ago, that means it was before the women even started doing Royal Rumbles then probably.
It was a long
they haven't had that many
ago.
Yet. Yeah.
Because I started seeing her in 2014, so it might have even been more than 7 years. I don't know, but it was a while.
Getting to see everybody though, as somebody that maybe not be familiar with wrestling or into wrestling at all, and you let them watch a Royal Rumble, they are almost guaranteed to walk out of there with a favorite by the end of that. You know what I'm saying? Because you get to see everybody pretty much, and then especially now with the two Royal Rumbles, it's going to be insane.
But the thing is, in a Royal Rumble, you're picking them based on their look and not based on what you know they.
Well, there's
it's
some
not
spots
like they
in there that
you'd
be like, "Oh, that was cool as fuck." Like depending on who they give those spots to. Like, yes, there could be better wrestlers and better characters, but they just won't know it because they're either hidden throughout the Royal Rumble match and they don't get to shine like the new shiny toys do, where they get to come in and do their three spots and be like, "Oh yeah, he's cool. Yeah, well, he's new." You know, we don't even know that fucking guy yet. So, yeah. So something like that. So. Speaking of insane, though, the amount of five-star matches already in January is insane. We already have 5 five-star matches from the Dave Meltzer ratings.
Shingo and Mox.
Shingo and Mox, Okada and Ospreay, which I don't agree with that one. But Okada and Ospreay at Battle in the Valley, Shingo and Mox at Battle in the Valley, which I agree with that one. I think that was the best show best match on the show. He has Okada and Danielson at Wrestle Kingdom in there as a five-star. He has Ospreay and Alexander as a 5-star for the TNA one. And then there was another one. Give me a second.
I don't know what it was about that one. Here's the thing when I watched
TNA. You didn't think it was 5 stars?
You sent me that. No, the match was fine. I hate the fucking TNA crowd. I don't know what it is, but like.
That TNA crowd wasn't that bad, though. At least they were.
No. It's not like they're not hype.
By the way, that was in Vegas, just so you know. So there's probably a lot of people there that just went just to go, too.
But they like
it wasn't in Canada or Nashville.
It's not that they're not into the match enough or anything like that. But I hate the constant fucking TNA chants. I don't know. It's like it reminds me of Full Sail in NXT, where like TNA crowds, for some reason, just seem always really interested in being part of the show in a way that's different than just being like cheering or doing chants.
You know what would really annoy you? Honestly, you know what would really annoy you? If you went back and watched Nitro. If you go back and watch Nitro, you would be so annoyed with the fans, I think. Because I am. They're just constantly yelling and talking throughout everything, but it's not actually in reference to anything that's going on.
Mm.
It's almost like, it almost sounds like a fucking cafeteria in school. That's what it sounds. It's so, it's annoying as fuck to me. So annoying. Mm. It's very few times where somebody's cutting a promo that people are actually listening, like the Roddy Pipers of the world or the Ric Flairs of the world, where they'll react to shit that they're saying. But I swear, man, most of that shit, it's just like they're just fucking yelling to yell.
Yeah.
Which they might be being told that on the side too. You know how that is. Oh, everybody. Oh, oh. You know, I've seen that plenty of times at shows and stuff like that. But Jesus Christ, dude. Yes. That Nitro, I think a lot of people don't understand how annoying those fans were. The other match was Mascara Dorada 2.0 versus Templario and CMLL. Was his other five-star. So that's, we had a five-star match on January 4th, January 5th, two matches on January 13th, and then this newest one with Ospreay and Alexander. So that's five already from Meltzer. My question to you, though, is, like, are we on pace for the most five-star matches within 1 year in the history of wrestling with this hot start that they have? Five already in January, and January's, we still got Royal Rumble coming up. Collisions and Dynamite, you can see a five-star match anytime on their breakout.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw, what was our tag team match of the year for 2023? It was a fucking tag. It was a tag match on Collision that was five stars, two out of three falls with FTR and Bullet Club. So,
are we on pace? Whenever they do the inevitable Acclaimed versus Bullet Club Gold split after their brief formation, that'll probably end up being pretty good too. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look, because that's not an opinion question. That's actually a fact-based question. Because pace, you can actually count out based on
years were. We're on pace, yes, but do you think it'll happen is an opinion-based thing. But the other thing is, whatever year it is that holds the record now has to be relatively modern. We're talking 2018, 2019, probably not the COVID years, and then like 2023 might be in the conversation as well.
Well, the other part of that conversation that you have to have too is, do you weight it based on Meltzer's scale changing over time? So I don't know. Either way, it seems like it'll be a good year. It's a hot start. Because remember last year.
Well, this is my favorite time of the year for wrestling right here. Like going into
Wrestle Kingdom.
Wrestle Kingdom. Then you got fucking
Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble and then Revolution right after. Like, and then you're on the road to WrestleMania and everybody's putting on their really good shows because they want to try to outdo WWE on their biggest show. Like, you have that whole week where everybody's having their shows. Like, it's a big, long fucking convention with all the indies and stuff that you can watch on Fight that are throughout the week leading up to WrestleMania, because everybody's going to be in Philly this year. Just like everybody's wherever the fuck they are for that entire week. It's going to be insane, dude.
I think Tony said he's keeping Final Battle on the WrestleMania weekend too. Was it Final Battle or was it Death Before Dishonor?
It's got to be one Death of Before Dishonor. It can't be Final Battle. Final Battle is always in December.
Death Before Dishonor. Whatever one it is. One of the major Ring of Honor pay-per-views that they always run during WrestleMania week. He said he's keeping it on WrestleMania week this year too. So, we'll see.
We are definitely off to a hot start. Speaking of to a hot start, the free agency period for Tony Khan is off to a hot start. We've got Deonna Purrazzo over in AEW right now. Okay, Camille, who was rumored to be going to NXT, was backstage at a fucking Dynamite show this past week. Okay, so that's not a guarantee, apparently. You've got Black Taurus is signed, even though he's going to have to change his gimmick, okay, from AAA. And you've got...
He has to change his name. He doesn't have to change the gimmick.
Well, okay, so...
Toro Negro.
Honestly, it always looked more like a pig mask to me anyway, like a warthog type deal than a bull, but just black pig.
Black Pumbaa. Yeah, I don't know. You can do something with it.
I don't care what he does. He's good. I don't give a fuck. But it sucks for him because he's already built that name up so much with that gimmick. So that sucks, but it's whatever.
Well, what
and
I was
they only
say
own
earlier...
the Taurus name, right? Don't they only own Taurus? They don't own black. You can't own a color, so... So, like, well, he can still keep him. Black, whatever his new shit is, right? So, he could be, but it could just be called Black Bull, right?
No, you can't do that.
Why not?
Because your search results won't be what you're looking for.
Bull Negro.
Yeah. You mentioned the other five-star match, the Mascara Dorado 2.0 or whatever. You know, that guy's only had that gimmick, I think, for less than a year. He's a relatively new guy, so for him to already have a five-star match is pretty crazy.
I understand the heritage and, like, being respectful and, like, honored to carry on somebody's old gimmick, right? But at what point do people start coming in there and be like, nah, I'd rather have my own shit so that when I leave, I can keep it type deal?
I just don't think that's the culture there.
Or that's just not their mindset until they start going to the States, basically. So, like, Taurus and Vikingo and... Commander might not have ever left if they weren't given the opportunity to go see how cool it was in AEW and on the indies and like GCW and stuff like that and be like, hey, I kind of want to come over here instead. This is way cooler.
I think it's just a different mindset in the sense that like you're so honored to be given whatever title that has a lot of heritage behind it that you don't really think of it like a self-brand thing. You think of it as like putting on you're the next guy to get the Green Lantern ring, basically. So it's not
like the daughter of Great Muta right now. But if she goes somewhere else, she gets to keep that gimmick, I would believe, right?
Well, but she's not the Great Muta, right? So
that's true.
So
it's a little bit also, if you're called 2.0, why can't you just be called 2.0 somewhere else? It's because it's not that gimmick.
They were called 3.0 before they were 2.0, weren't they?
No, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the Mascara de Dorado 2.0.
Oh.
I'm not talking about the tag team, dude.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know.
All right. So speaking of crazy shit that's going on with the free agency, Okada has announced his departure from New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is something I thought I would never say out loud. Ever. Like, that's crazy to me. Like, in the contract, staying in New Japan and then like splitting your time 6 months and 6 months or something, I could see that. Like, hey, let me bypass this G1 because I'm on Okada time and I don't want to fucking do that. I would go to AEW during those months, right?
Yeah. Guess what, buddy? You're in the Continental Classic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's way easier than G1. Fucking.
I don't know.
Okada leaving New Japan though. We gotta ask the question: where does he go? Why is he leaving? And honestly, to put this in perspective of people that are not familiar with like just how big Okada is in wrestling, he's not that big in Japan compared to his wife, because you have a funny story about that when on Twitter, right? But to put this in perspective, and even this is going to sound a little bit outdated because we're a little bit older, but this is like if Michael Jordan left the Bulls after that sixth title and was a free agent instead of retiring and becomes available for anyone to pick up. Which would be absolutely insane because he was still at the peak of his abilities or whatever, instead of retiring for a second time. Like, could you imagine if he just said, nah, fuck it, I'm not retiring, but I'm not re-signing with the Bulls. I'm going to go win fucking titles somewhere else. And then, like, everybody's doing a mad dash to come get this man. That's basically what it is with Okada right now.
Or if right after Hogan had, like, if Warrior didn't beat Hogan, Hogan won that match and then was like, all right, I'm retiring from WWF. I'm leaving WWF. I'm going to go seek other wrestling opportunities.
The reason I don't use Hogan in that is because there was only one other place to go.
Yeah, that's true.
So Okada has a shit ton of places he can go.
Well, he could have gone to WCW. He could have gone to New Japan. He could have gone to All Japan. He could have gone to AAA.
Hogan, at the very peak of his career, was not going to go to All Japan or New Japan.
Yeah, but you could say the same thing about fucking Okada. The very peak of his career, why are you leaving New Japan? You are New Japan.
Okada, I don't feel like I think he's a lot closer to where Michael Jordan was in his playing career than he was Hogan when he lost to Warrior.
Oh, because Hogan's old. So as far as like why he wants to leave or what's going on, like maybe just feel like he's done everything there is to do in New Japan. It is kind of funny because I feel like it's funny that one of the first places he shows up after that announcement is TNA. And it's almost like he wants to go redeem his fucking TNA. He picks TNA just to end up at the top of that company.
Well,
just
I highly doubt he picks TNA. Although
this.
TNA did offer Ospreay what was reported as 7 figures. So since that didn't go through, they still have those 7 figures, seemingly, you would think.
Yeah, I don't see a, I mean, look, TNA, they're doing well.
They're trying. Like, you got to give them credit. They're literally throwing the contracts out there. They threw it out for Punk. They threw it out for Ospreay. They're probably going to throw it out for Okada, too. But then in the process, you're losing people like Deonna Purrazzo as well.
You know, you gotta wonder if they wonder, like, what are we doing that AEW, or what are we not doing that AEW did, where AEW comes in as just instantly, like, the number two company, and we've been doing this shit forever. And no matter how
give Eric Bischoff and Hogan charge, that's what that to kill everybody's like sour everybody on the product, whereas people still haven't recovered and be like, no, I'm not gonna give them a chance because they completely fucked up when they did that.
I mean, that's kind of how I felt about it for a long time. I still to this day I'm not gonna like
I think the issue not... with the issue with TNA right now is that, like we've always said, they have a really good tag division, they have a really good X division, they have a really good women's division, great women's division. But their main singles world title fucking division is not good compared to AEW and WWE and New Japan. And then, like, people don't want to go there because you don't have anyone there to fight besides Josh Alexander.
Y'all are hearing a Moose hater right now, okay?
I'm not a fan of Moose. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I'm not.
I mean, he's not... I mean, he's better than, like, a Braun Strowman or, like, other... big men that they position as big men in other companies. What is it? You just find him like too generic? Too what?
I feel like, okay, well, I don't know. I mean, like,
it's not like I'm a big Moose fan either, but
I get that. I'm just saying, like, it's just no charisma. I don't know what to tell you. Like, he tries. I'm not saying he doesn't try or whatever, but it's just like, the only reason I'm tuning into TNA is for tag team titles. Like, I'll tune in for Chris Sabin because he's still X Division champion, obviously. I love Motor City Machine Guns. I wish Alex Shelley didn't lose the title. I love Chris Bay and Ace Austin. Love them as tag champs. Love the women's division, even though they're taking a hit right now. I'm actually shocked that Jordynne Grace went back. I'm shocked that AEW didn't try to pick up Jordynne Grace. I don't know if it was a thing because of the Gresham situation or if she wanted more money than they were willing to offer or whatever, but she was a free agent for a brief time before she went back to TNA. So that was weird to me.
She knows that she'll be at the top of that division now that Deonna's gone.
Deonna and Trinity are gone. But still, like, being at the top of a division in a place that no one really pays attention to compared to the other two places, is that really on the top of a division, though? You know, you get what I'm saying?
Are you getting paid
for
it?
You should treat it like Drew McIntyre. Well, I'm not saying that TNA wants you to treat it like that, but right now that's how they're viewed as. You should treat it like Drew McIntyre treated it. You should treat it like Trinity just treated it. You go in there, you make your impact, no pun intended, you get on top, you drop the title, you put somebody else over on the way out, and then you go back because now you're worth more money. The problem is TNA doesn't want that. TNA wants people to come in there and build them up so that they can contend with the AEWs and the WWEs, which is fine, but you're not getting those big names in your single men's division. That's the problem. You're throwing the money out there. I'm giving you credit for at least trying. There's a lot of NFL teams out there that won't go out there and go grab a free agent because they don't want to pay them the money, and then they fucking suck for the next 5 years because they didn't want to go get them. Or they trade somebody because they didn't want to re-sign them. At least TNA is throwing the money out there. We know that they can hang and can get a few really good fucking pieces to make me want to go watch their program on a weekly basis. Problem is those people are not agreeing to the contract and signing the contracts because AEW or WWE will come in, and if they're even close, the offer's even close to what TNA is, even if it's less, they'll still take that because it's more people watching them.
Well, Access TV ain't exactly like...
Exactly. You got to get the fuck off of Access TV. Or Access TV needs to get into more homes. One or the other.
Yeah, that was crazy. When you sent me that video, I was watching it and they were like, oh yeah, and we're going to continue in picture in picture. And I was like, fuck, that's right. They're on television somewhere. I completely forgot. The Ospreay Josh video. I I agree that people are going to be more inclined to pick AEW or WWE, even with similar numbers, obviously. But I wonder if that's less about the television exposure and more just about them also kind of having the same stigma about TNA that the people who broke off from TNA because of the earlier shit kind of still have about it. I don't know, man. It's weird to see a company like really putting in, like, I objectively know that the effort that they're putting in is like very high effort stuff. They're getting a lot of
by the way, the new titles, love the new titles too that they debuted. All the titles look amazing.
They've got some good divisions, and I just it's not something that I'm gonna go out of my way to watch, and I don't know exactly what it is or why, but yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna watch it over, like, if I had the option on Thursdays to watch NWA that I missed or TNA, I'm watching TNA 100 out of 100 times. But the problem is that I'll never choose TNA over
AEW,
WWE, New Japan.
To watch or as a wrestler? Because
to watch as a fan. A wrestler, I could see somebody choosing TNA over New Japan because they don't want to go to Japan. Yes, I can see that.
Yeah. I can also
see... That's a big-ass fucking deal if you have to go to Japan, so yeah.
I can also see as a fan, like, if TNA had like a really good card and they were bringing in talent from other companies, like if you had the Kenny Omega Christian match on versus a WWE card, I'll watch TNA over that. But again, that's not because of people that they have there. It's just because they have relationships with other companies. And I think that's...
But think
that's
about all it took was for us to see Christian versus Kenny Omega to get interested in the Impact title, but it was on fucking AEW TV. It was on Rampage.
They had a match on TNA too, didn't they?
I don't think so. Christian lost his title to, I want to say, Josh Alexander over there. Something like that. He was over there. But Kenny Omega wrestled against like Rich Swann when he was the champion, and I want to say somebody else too. But we literally went out of our way to watch those matches in Impact because guess what? They finally had a credible person at the top of the men's world title division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that is. I guess that is what it is. Just their singles.
It's what it is. It's literally what it is because we like everything else about TNA. I even like their goofy storylines because it's something different. They go out. They go out on a limb a lot of times. They're kind of like what Ring of Honor is doing right now. Ring of Honor does a lot of weird stuff that they probably would not do on AEW TV. On AEW, but it's very entertaining. TNA's been doing that for a while now, a long time.
I like the Dalton Castle stuff they're doing now too.
With Taya Valkyrie and John Morrison.
Johnny TV,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that is it.
But then you got hilarious. Did you just watch the hilarious Nyla promo with Lexi?
No.
Oh, you got to watch that, dude. You got to watch that promo. That's so good.
I skipped around.
Because she's feuding with Athena right now. And then obviously, Lexi is one of the minions for Athena. It's so good. But anyway. What they're doing, like everything else besides their men's singles world title division, is watchable on a weekly basis. Like it is something I would go, but because there's no grand prize or no one I care about in that grand prize picture, I'm not watching it. You have to keep bringing people over to fight Josh Alexander because there's no one else for Josh Alexander to fight.
Let's say you have Ziggler beat Moose, right?
No, if Ziggler, if it ends up being, okay, so like, let's first, for instance, say, what's their next big one, I guess, would be Slammiversary. I don't know. I mean, that's not their next one, but like the next one where everybody acts like they're TNA fans again. Slammiversary and Bound for Glory, right? Those are the two. But if it was like Nick Namath versus fucking Josh Alexander for the world title, I'm watching that pay-per-view. Yes, for sure. But I don't even know if I'm going to go out of my way to watch Nick Namath versus Moose. Because if I tune in and Moose wins, I'm going to be fucking pissed, dude.
So their next one is No Surrender, February 23rd.
That is a regular one, yes.
And then Sacrifice at March 8th.
Okay, both of those are long-time pay-per-view names.
Hey, No Surrender's in New Orleans. You might go watch that one.
So is AEW soon. January 31st, New Orleans is going to do Dynamite and Rampage. Even though FTR thinks it's in Idaho that week.
I just, I keep forgetting that Revolution is coming up and I have tickets to that.
Might want to start preparing yourself.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, what, a month and a half? Jeez. It's not that far though. Greensboro, was it like 3 or 4 hours from here?
Oh, you'll be fine.
Yeah, no, I can definitely drive it.
All right, so Okada is leaving New Japan. Okay. Queen Amanada, yeah. Black Taurus, and Deonna Purrazzo have all signed with AEW. They're also looking at still Mercedes is out there, obviously. That no one knows what the hell's going on with that still. No new information really on that, but all signs are pointing that she's still leaning towards AEW. Yes. Yeah. Okay, then you've got Ospreay's going to be starting at Revolution, okay? Because we're still waiting for that new beginning pay-per-view or whatever to happen with the cage match, the 4-on-4. Then you've got Trinity just announced that she's done with TNA, and the rumors are she's going to be debuting back at Royal Rumble again to show back up in WWE.
You know what is weird with the Okada-Ospreay situation is when Ospreay lost that match, I think we were both kind of like, well, okay, well, that makes sense because he's on his way out. You know, you put over the guy that's still there. And then Okada announces he's leaving. It's like, well, wait, Ospreay's still going to be wrestling in New Japan. Why the fuck not just have Ospreay win that match? Because their records are like...
I can say the same thing about why aren't we having Shingo drop the title to Evil instead of Tama Tonga beating Shingo at Wrestle Kingdom for no reason, just so he can drop the title back to Evil on his way out. Because now Tama's gone too. He says his goodbyes to New Japan. And then you also had somebody else is leaving or coming in. Who the fuck was it? I just forgot who it was. There's so much shit going on in free agency right now. It's insane.
Free agency is weird now too, because if you come over to any of the American companies that aren't WWE, they will still let you work Japan pretty much like without too much bullshit. But I did
That's
think
because
it was
they have
weird.
A relationship with New Japan though.
But I thought it was weird to have
Impact and AEW both have really good relationships with them.
I understand that Ospreay won the first match with Alexander, but it still seems weird to have Tony Khan okay him losing on television.
I don't think Tony Khan can okay anything right now because he's still Ospreay under New Japan contract. I don't care.
What do you mean? He signed with them.
It's not official until Revolution, though.
I don't think that's how that works.
He said that he got New Japan's permission to prematurely sign with AEW, but he's still under contract with New Japan until Revolution or whatever after this last thing, but he officially starts Revolution Week with AEW.
I figured they
Tony Khan ain't got nothing to say about it.
Well, he does if they're overlapping contracts. If you're saying that New Japan ends and then the day after AEW starts, that's different than saying, okay, I'm signing with AEW. I have New Japan's permission to do overlapping contracts. So then he would have a say. But it definitely seems weird to have him lose on television as you're bringing him in as like your hot new fucking free agent signing to your company. But I guess he kind of figures, you know, nobody's watching TNA, so whatever. So there's that, I guess.
Yeah, no one's watching the promotion where fucking Okada and Ospreay are coming in multiple times.
I mean, they'll watch them for them, but if you tell me...
So Tama Tonga's leaving. There's rumors that he's going to show up at Royal Rumble, too. Do you think that's true?
Nobody's going to know who the fuck he is. And I say this to somebody
That's how people win.
Listen.
That's how WWE win.
Hold on. What I'm saying, and again, I'm a Tama Tonga fan. But
you keep saying that, but every time we talk about Tama Tonga on here, you have to preface your comments with that because you're about to talk bad shit about the guy.
That is true. I don't know what it is, but I guess it's just because ever since he left GOD, it's just like a different character, it's a different vibe, and doesn't really click as much for me anymore. But no, I do like Tama Tonga. I just think that if he were to show up at the Royal Rumble, I don't think that many people at the Royal Rumble audience would like know who he was or care that much that, like, because even if I'm there and he comes out for Royal Rumble, I'm not like, oh shit, he's about to win the Royal Rumble like I was when like AJ Styles came out or anything.
AJ Styles is going to win the Royal Rumble at number 3.
Yeah, I did.
No, you did not. There's no way anyone thought AJ Styles was going to come in at number 3 on his debut and win the Royal Rumble, dude. No chance.
So if Tama Tonga were to come out, even if I were in the audience, I would be like, oh shit, that's cool, that's Tama Tonga. You know who Tama Tonga is? Guy next to me? Yeah,
you'd be the fucking meme of the dude talking to the girl.
Yeah, is it? Yeah. Let me tell you all about
break down this entire fucking mansplain his entire backstory right quick from Wikipedia to you.
And I know that you might think that he's coming in to...
He also blocked me one time.
He's actually Tongan, okay? No.
He blocked me one time, then we put out a thing out saying, hey, please unblock him, and then he unblocked me. It was so fucking cool.
It wasn't cool.
I'm telling you how you're going to say it to the chick. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck.
Dude, you know how I found out blocked me? I have no idea why. Tony Schiavone.
Tony Schiavone blocked you now? Now we got to get on Tony Schiavone's ass?
I don't know what happened.
You know, a lot of these people just block whoever the fuck's involved in the conversation.
Yeah, I've noticed that too, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't... Because I've never...
They don't actually pay attention to who's replying or whatever. They just block everybody involved.
There's also a thing that you can download or whatever that will block anyone who liked a certain thing. So, yeah.
I highly doubt Tony Schiavone is that in tune with the social medias. That's gonna make me think he's... Let me see if he blocked us.
Oh my God. I got an energy drink sponsorship.
I don't think I really blocked... I don't think I've been... We've been blocked by anybody on the...
On the actual account
page.
Nah, we're good.
I'm really not that negative on there unless it's to other fans. I don't give a fuck about the wrestlers. Like, I never go out of my way to talk shit to the wrestlers. That's weird behavior. Yeah, dude.
Tony Schiavone fucking blocked me, bro.
Yeah, man, you suck.
I know. I didn't see shit.
No, I'm still good. Still on there, baby. Tony Schiavone. I don't even follow him. I try not to follow too many people because it... Apparently, it falls with the algorithm.
I don't need you to tell him to unblock me or anything, but it's funny. I just thought it was funny. Because somebody had retweeted something.
Okay. Unblock my boy.
Nah, don't do that. So somebody had retweeted something.
No, because they'll block me too.
Yeah. Somebody had retweeted something by him, and I couldn't see it. And so I had no idea what the fuck they were talking about. That's how I found out. It's like, oh, okay. That's weird. But anyway. For the most part, I don't really... at wrestlers or anything. I reply to Effie sometimes, but that's just because the shit he posts is that I reply to isn't usually wrestling related. Yeah,
but I'll quote tweet wrestlers all day instead of replying, just because I don't want to deal with other people's stupid ass fucking opinions on what I'm replying with. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I'll just quote tweet it instead.
Who knows? But yeah, so
to my common-minded, like, follower base, so that they can just like my tweet instead, and I don't have to get a bunch of dumbass opinions afterwards. And it doesn't always happen, but still, I mean, it is Twitter after all.
I've literally never said a negative thing about Tony Schiavone, so I have no idea what that's about. That's he must have run one of those. He probably just ran one of those apps or programs or whatever that auto-blocked anybody who liked something or whatever.
Speaking of free agents, right? Quote unquote, yeah. This time, because this one's not really a free agent, but let's talk about Jack Perry showing up at Battle in the Valley, all right? Jack Perry shows up at Battle in the Valley for New Japan Strong and rips his AEW contract and then puts on a armband that says scapegoat on it. All right, so.
Yeah.
I was. The fucking debut was cool as shit until he did the scapegoat thing. I was cool with all of it until that. Then it was explained to me why he's doing that, I guess. You know, one of those people that wanted to figure out all the Bray Wyatt shit and try to do the backstory so people understand it type deal. I guess one of those people try to explain why he's referring to himself as the scapegoat to try to make it make sense. Still not on board with it.
Was there a QR code on the armband?
Still not on board with the scapegoat moniker. okay, so... You can't be the scapegoat. Hold on,
what did you not understand? Because it was pretty straightforward.
It's straightforward why he's referring to himself as the scapegoat?
Yeah.
Please enlighten me.
Because people are blaming him for the whole Punk leaving shit.
Oh my God, dude. No. Punk got fired.
Yeah, but people are blaming him for causing all the shit.
No, you can't be a scapegoat if you still kept your job.
No, you are the scapegoat because it's they're acting like you're the one who made Punk act like that. Yes.
Who's they? The partial of the minority that fucking MJF's always talking about in his press conferences? So
no,
not even also, a big segment, because we've never said that it was Jack Perry's fault that CM Punk got fired.
We haven't, because we're not fucking
That's
dumb.
What I'm saying. So he's the scapegoat to 10 people?
It's not 10 people.
Come you're on, man. Like you this. Understand are what you the
really
fuck I'm saying.
Like, are you really acting like only 10 people were like, oh, he shouldn't have said that. He was taking shots on live TV.
Are you really acting like it was enough people to have a fucking whole moniker based off of it? No, it's not, dude. MJF literally says they always say in the fucking press conferences how fucking little the minority is of the fucking fans on Twitter. This is why you hate the term internet true. Wrestling that's community, correct? This is one of the reasons why you hate it.
No, the reason I hate it is because that's not true. Everybody fucking uses Twitter, okay? So the idea that the internet wrestling community is somehow like vastly different than the wrestling community broadly is stupid. Everybody uses the fucking internet.
I disagree with that so much.
Everybody uses the internet. So to say internet wrestling
community doesn't... Everyone just hates wrestling and goes to wrestling anyway. All those people that are in the audience, they just hate wrestling. Because that's pretty much fucking 80% of the IWC on Twitter.
You're yapping. Listen. What I'm saying is that everybody uses the fucking internet. There's no internet wrestling community.
I understand the IWC part. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the minority part of it.
You keep talking, but you keep not understanding. So what I'm saying is that when you have this like number of people that are being vocally negative about something, no, that's not representative of the whole. It's just that when you typically when you feel good about something, or like when you think something's good or you think something's positive, you're not as inclined to say something about it as you are when you don't like something. Because you're more content to just be like, oh, okay, yeah, that was fine. It was fine. The show was fine. The match was fine. You're not going to get on Twitter and say, yeah, the match was fine. Unless you're arguing with somebody who said that it wasn't fine. But no, the idea that it's like a minority of Twitter people, like that's not necessarily the case. Also, it's way more than 10 people that were trying to say that, oh, that he shouldn't have gone into business for himself. He shouldn't have been talking shit on live TV. He was clearly taking a shot at Punk, like in the middle of a televised thing, like there was, he shouldn't have been like picking fights and blah blah blah. Like
that part's true, but that's not why Punk got fired.
No, he got fired for starting a fight about it. But what I'm saying is that the scapegoat part is pretty clear. It's like, oh, it was your fault because you were fucking provoking him or whatever. And then when you went backstage and got in the fight, you got suspended for it because you were the one talking shit. Like you are the one that caused him to act that way. So yes, it's partially your fault too. It's not like it's that fucking complicated.
He can't be a scapegoat if he still has his job.
But he doesn't have his job. Can't. Which is why
yes, he does. It's a fucking storyline that he ripped up his fucking contract.
It's also a storyline that he's got on a fucking scapegoat armband. It's all storyline.
But the scapegoat moniker doesn't make sense.
I didn't say it's good.
I'm not saying that you ever did say it was good. It's not good. It's not good at all.
I'm saying that it's not that hard to figure out what the fuck he's referring to.
You cannot fucking try to fucking create a goddamn fucking new gimmick based off of fucking a part of a minority.
He got suspended.
So a subsection of a minority fan base.
He got suspended.
Holy shit. That doesn't make you a scapegoat. A scapegoat is Triple H at the curtain call. He was the scapegoat. Everybody else either fucking... It got literally nothing happened to them because two of them were going to fucking WCW and the other one was the world champion. He was a scapegoat. He's the one that got buried in the curtain call. That's an actual scapegoat.
Hold on. Scapegoat is not necessarily about who gets the most punishment. It's also just you can have a scapegoat that doesn't get punished at all. They just get blamed for it. You understand that, right? Like, there's no.
If anything, Punk could be viewed as the scapegoat. He's the one that lost his job. He's the one that got baited into the fight and then fucking fought back.
Baited by who? There you are again, So you are making Perry the scapegoat. It's his fault for beating him.
I've been on record saying that Punk fucked up because he should have just fucking walked away from it and then let Perry get in trouble by himself. But no, he couldn't do that, even though we've already had the past fucking thing that he had with the Elite at the Brawl Out or whatever. Mm-hmm. We said that if they brought him back, if he did anything close to that again, mm-hmm. he was going to get let go, and rightfully so. And then fucking he did it. So how is Jack Perry the fucking scapegoat?
When you say baited into, you are blaming implicitly Perry.
I'm not, though. Because he let it happen to him. I do not view Jack Perry as a scapegoat at all, and I am a CM Punk fan. CM Punk was 100% in the wrong because he knew, based off his past previous actions, that if he did anything, if he sneezed on that motherfucker, he was going to get fucking suspended or fired.
Right. So again, scapegoat is not about the punishment that the person gets. It's just about blame. Punishment is often part of blame, but you don't necessarily
have to. Jack Perry's not a scapegoat. I don't give a fuck. He's not a scapegoat.
I'm not saying that
it was CM Punk's fault, 100%.
I'm not saying it's a good gimmick, but when you do get suspended,
it's a shitty gimmick.
And people are like, oh, well, you provoked him into doing that.
It's a gimmick that doesn't make any sense. I understand what you're saying, but it's not a good gimmick. And it's
not a good gimmick.
He's not a scapegoat to me. He's not a scapegoat. He's not.
You don't know what
it doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Just go back to your fucking fake ass Hollywood shit that you were doing, because that you're not a scapegoat, dude. You don't look any cooler either. The debut was so good until that. It was annoyed the fuck out of me. Because I like Jack Perry. I've been on record on the show many times that he's one of my favorites. Was one of my favorites in AEW. But this gimmick is not great. So
there's two questions then. A, do you think he could have come back without mentioning it at all?
Do you not think that he should have signed an NDA like the rest of them?
Hold on. Just answer the question.
I don't understand why he's referencing it at all in the first place.
Okay.
That's some hot water, is it not?
Okay, so you think he could have come back without referencing it at all, right?
Yes, for sure.
Okay. B, what do you make his character in that case? Like, what's his motivation for like the attack post-match and all that stuff from there?
For the Shota thing?
Yeah, why is he in New Japan at all, like all that stuff?
Great question. It depends on if he wanted to start something with BCC and he thought that the way to get to Moxley was through Shota, maybe something like that, because Moxley has been showing up in New Japan as well. I don't really know, because he's been off TV for so long. I don't know if I would have brought him back in New Japan to go against Shota, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it depends on what they're trying to do with him, too, because like if Tony's trying to push him, or do we view this as like a mini excursion of sorts for Jack Perry?
Yeah, kind of, to get him off TV for a while in America. But the thing is, I don't feel like there's a way that he could have come back without referencing the Punk shit at all. And the reason for that is every report of what happened says that he lost the scuffle or whatever, essentially. So I think it's hard to come back as a credible wrestler knowing that the big backstage news surrounding you is that you were involved in like a little fucking scrap and lost.
But I mean, if we did that with every wrestler, though, like everybody that we thought was badass is no longer badass. Wouldn't it be just as good just to ignore the thing and act like it never, like you never lost? Like, just don't even fucking reference it.
Well, that's what I asked. That was my first question, right? Do you think he could have come back without referencing that at all?
I do.
Okay. And then the next question is, okay, what's his character?
The same shit that he had before.
Okay. Then why is he in New Japan?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know that you would have to come up with a bet. But it won't take me long to come up with a better storyline than Scapegoat.
I think the Scapegoat shit is dumb, but I think him ripping up the AEW contract was fine. I think him pretending that he got like, so he's still on suspension.
If you want to keep the ripping up of the AEW contract, I'm cool with that. But don't do the Scapegoat thing.
Yes.
But do like almost like a Christian Cage type deal where you're doing exactly what you're saying you're not going to do. We're like, hey, I had to leave AEW because, like, instead of it saying scapegoat, say drama free. But then the way that you debuted is you literally creating super drama dramatic with some dude that you've never had contact with before in your life. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. Like, you remember when Christian was talking mad shit about CM Punk about, hey, why are you carrying around a title that you didn't win when it was technically Luchasaurus' TNT title and we thought that shit was hilarious? You know, something like that, where like he's coming in, he's like, I couldn't deal with all the drama over there in AEW, so I ripped up the contract. I'm now drama-free. And then all he's doing in New Japan is creating drama constantly.
A bunch of sneaky backstabbers, then he's like constantly sneaky backstabbing.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. That's already 100% better than fucking the scapegoat thing.
Yeah. I don't think that there was a way to not reference AEW. I think the scapegoat shit is kind of dumb, because then it puts a cloud over the whole character where it's an unresolvable issue because Punk's not there anymore. I don't think you kind of like, I forget who it was that mentioned this at some point. It was, it might've been Jericho even, but he's like, you never sell for you never sell a match that you can't actually have. Like, you never build to a conflict that you can't have a match for. It doesn't make any sense. And he's right. So I don't think that even focusing on the Punk thing makes sense, but I think he could have focused on the AEW suspension thing, come out, torn up the contract, been like, look, just cause I'm suspended from there, doesn't mean that I can't, you know, show up in other places, that kind of shit, you know, not exactly like that, obviously, but, and then that sort of explains his reasoning for being in another company. Well, obviously AEW is the one allowing it, but in storyline, it still makes sense. And it kind of keeps the, because if he were to come back straight to AEW, what you're trying to avoid is like the CM Punk chance at him and shit, which you're not going to get in Japan. Japan doesn't do that shit. So it does kind of make sense to have him come back in a different place, like rehab his character image, whatever, kind of get away from the whole CM Punk shit. So to do the scapegoat thing, I feel like defeats the purpose of having him go to a different company at all in the first place. I think ripping up the AEW contract was fine. The scapegoat shit, I think, is dumb.
All right, so let's say that his New Japan Strong excursion thing goes all the way to Forbidden Door. Is he on that Forbidden Door card in front of AEW fans for the first time again, or do you think that ends before that?
They need to have him rematch Sonata and beat the absolute piss out of him.
Well, they can't now. There's no title on the line, I guess.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. You have him get his win back.
But if it's in Japan this year, like the reports are saying that it could be, then how are the Japanese fans going to take that? Because it was Sonata and everybody else in Japan that was talking mad shit and American fans about Jack Perry getting the shot at Sonata on Forbidden Door 2 in the first place.
And I think you could tell that story. You know what I would have done with Jack Perry? I'd have him come back, do the AEW thing, but also, like, I would give him a more MMA style and then say that he was training with, who the fuck was that guy that they had come in as a heel manager for a little bit?
Lambert?
I would pair him with him and say that he was learning fucking MMA and shit.
That's terrible.
That's awesome.
Terrible because he's not actually going to be any good at MMA. That's such a bad idea.
But you could actually teach him these things, and then he could adapt that into his wrestling style. I do
not. I think it would Jungle Boy fucking fight MMA in a wrestling ring.
I do not fucking fight MMA, but like you could. The thing is with Jungle Boy, his snare trap submission is one of his like finishes or whatever, but you could give him a lot more like grappling based shit because he's like pretty thin, lanky.
Let's go with that whole storyline that you just did. You know how that would be a cool payoff if he came back in and he beat Hook for the FDW title again?
Yeah,
or and whatever title that Hook had at the time, if he had another title or something, and Jack Perry comes back and because Hook is that kind of a fighter, right? That's what you're saying,
right?
Okay,
yeah. So yeah, that's Hook is somebody that I would name as an example of somebody that uses what I'm talking about, where he's not doing MMA, but like he wears the shorts, he does a lot of ground-based grappling, like armbar throws, judo shit, like all that kind of stuff. Yeah, same thing. And then the story that you tell is basically like he's the heel MMA guy who comes in and does the heel MMA shit. So he could do the eye poke leading into the armbar or whatever the fuck. Like there's a lot of different stuff.
Nutshots. Stuff that he knows is illegal MMA, but he'll do it anyway because he
can get away with it. And then follows up with MMA shit and look, I'm the fucking champion of mixed martial arts.
I don't know. I was not a fan. Like I was so hyped at first and then I was like, when he put that fucking showed everybody the armband and put it on, I was like, what the fuck are we doing, dude? What are we doing? Anyway, let's talk about Trinity a little bit. Trinity lost her title to Jordynne Grace, and then at the following TNA taping says her goodbyes, obviously after, I believe she had a rematch with Jordynne Grace. She's expected to be a surprise entrant into the 2024 Women's Royal Rumble match, but what are your thoughts on her run in TNA? Was it worth it, do you think, for her to do the TNA thing instead of going right back to WWE?
For sure.
And what do you think about her like being like actually headed back to the world that is WWE? Like, is anything really going to change this time around, especially when she doesn't seemingly have Mercedes there with her to, you know, help her walk out again? Because when you have a friend that has your back like that, it's a lot easier to walk out of situations because you got to remember how much Trinity is connected to that business through the Usos and shit like that, right?
Yeah,
and because they're viewed so highly up in the company. I think if it was any other tag team partner with Naomi other than Mercedes, they probably wouldn't have walked out.
So this is kind of like when we were just talking about the McIntyre thing, right? I think that it did help her stock as like a singles performer in a way that she wouldn't have been able to get while she was in WWE. So it actually was good for her to leave and go do that for however long it's been, almost a year. And then come back to WWE as like a bigger single star, I feel like. Because it's not like she was doing a lot of singles. She's never been somebody that they consider like a high singles, like in the singles division over in WWE. So no, I think it makes sense.
I would still have loved to have Tony Khan give her a deal in Ring of Honor. But I view Ring of Honor and Impact as pretty much, or TNA now, as pretty level par as far as like I'm going out of my way to watch it, especially their big shows. Like, I've bought every Ring of Honor pay-per-view since Tony Khan took over, except for one.
I pay for Watch ROH, but I probably watch it maybe, I probably get to watch like maybe two shows a month.
Like, I think Ring of Honor would be a great place for her if they were worried about her coming in like really too close to the Mercedes thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could see them both on AEW, but like if the whole premise was, hey, I don't want to bring in Trinity and then overshadow her immediately with Mercedes, then putting her in Ring of Honor would help alleviate some of that. So I am curious to know why AEW didn't make a play. Maybe they did make a play. We just don't know. To bring her in, but it seems like all signs are pointing to her going back to WWE for the Royal Rumble,
which is fine. I think that's
yes. But is it going to be fine? Like, are you going to just shake your head if they bring her in the Royal Rumble? She does her Kofi Kingston gimmick and then gets thrown out again anyway. And then we're like, oh, it's the same old fucking Naomi shit.
She doesn't have to win. But then again, who do you have in the division right now that you would have win aside from her?
I feel like Becky's probably going to win so she can go against Rhea.
Yeah, but you could do the Becky-Rhea match without...
I know, they're already kind of leading up to it now.
Yeah.
Which is what I said, it was going to be her only real challenger at this point because Rhea's beating everybody else on Raw. I could also see Jade winning it and going against Io.
I think if you have Trinity come back, she wins and then goes does the match Io? With Io. Yeah.
I don't know.
Because
don't
you know can build the Becky Rhea thing.
Is Io even going to be champion by the time WrestleMania comes around is the question, too.
That's true.
Is Julia going to WWE? That's the rumors going on around right now, too. Could Julia win the fucking Royal Rumble and go against Io at WrestleMania? For night one or something. And then night two be Rhea and Becky. Like, there's a lot of things that they could do. We just don't know the timelines on these contracts and stuff. But it was reported that Trinity and Julia are headed over there. But it was also reported that Sasha was going to be or Mercedes was going to be Sasha again, and then talks fell through. There was also talks of Camille going over there, starting in NXT, but then she visited AEW. So it's kind of like the NFL coaching carousel right now, where everybody's just taking interviews everywhere, and they're just going to figure out, hey, wherever I want to fucking go, basically, which is pretty awesome. This is no longer, I feel like it's no longer, hey, just who gives me the most money now, if that makes sense.
It is good for the business.
Because Okada's doing the same thing, right? Because the reports were that Okada went to Dynamite, wanted to see how it was ran and how everything went, and then like he was very impressed with it, and that's why he helped make his decision to not re-sign with New Japan. But before we forget again, the Okada wife story, throw that out to everybody.
Oh, yeah. So when Okada announced that he was leaving New Japan, it wasn't even fucking Okada trending on Japanese Twitter. It was his wife. Because his wife is more popular in Japan than Okada is. So everybody was like, oh no, if he leaves New Japan, like, is she moving to America? Like, blah, blah. So, yeah, that was pretty funny. We're all in our little
like
wrestling bubble, but everybody else is
Beckham
like...
Beckham and Posh Spice over there, dude. Like, what? Yeah. Oh, she can't leave too? No. David Beckham's going to MLS. Is Posh Spice leaving too? No. but yeah, crazy. I'm rocking the Seth freaking Rollins shirt today, and that is on a somber note, of course, because the reports are saying that he has torn his MCL, or sprained it, or strained it, and possibly something else too. I think there's another injury as well, and that he will be he's expecting to address his future as world champion on Raw. If Seth has to miss Mania and drop this fucking title, how big of a blow is that to not WWE but just Raw in general?
Honestly, and I say this as somebody that doesn't really mind Seth that much, it's probably better for the division that this happened and that he drops the belt without losing it. Because there's so many people at the top, but you don't want to bury him necessarily either by having him lose to somebody. And obviously, losing is not being buried, but it gets
especially
him
if you're
going to
lose it at WrestleMania, it's not being buried either.
Right.
Yeah.
But it gets him lost in the shuffle to lose. Whereas if he just has to drop it from an injury, it almost works out better for him because then he can come back with an immediate claim to it. He's still at the top of the division. And there are so many, like, there's a lot of sharks in the water right now as far as, like, spot on the card, stuff like that. So, no, I think that this is a... it sucks. Like, you don't ever want somebody to get injured. But as far as the health of the division goes, he's had that belt for a really long time. And if he does have to drop it to injury, it's honestly not the worst thing that could happen to the division. And it's not the worst thing that could happen for his character, because he doesn't have to lose. So,
yeah, he can do the same thing that he basically did before, where he was using the whole thing of, hey, you know who Roman never beat? Me, type deal. Or like when Edge came back and never lost it after he dropped it. He was like, hey, you know, I never lost the fucking world title.
Or Balor with the Universal when he got injured. So, yeah, there's a lot of different things you could do.
I still think I would rather see a Seth Rollins match at Royal Rumble, because he's going to consistently give you one of the better matches on the single side, but it's a little bit hidden on Royal Rumble matches anyway, because we all know why we're tuning into Royal Rumble. We're tuning in to watch the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
That's why we're watching it.
And well, then, except of course, for the
Elimination
Chamber,
he's going to miss Elimination Chamber if that's the case. And then Mania too. I mean, that's a ways away. I don't know how bad this injury is. But if it is an actual tear of the MCL, then he's going to be out for a little bit.
I mean, there's been good matches on Royal Rumble. Like the, they did the Reigns Owens match at Royal Rumble. So like they do put some storyline stuff on there.
I'm not counting that. I fucking hated that match last year. I came on here and just destroyed that match. Because we already knew that Roman Reigns was going to win. He had already beat Kevin Owens 8 times in the rain. It can be a good match, but it doesn't matter if you don't have any fucking inkling of something that might actually fucking change.
Wasn't, No, hold on.
Your favorite three-way was at Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that's true.
Cena, also, Brock, and Rollins.
The best Mountain Dew Pitch Black match was at Royal Rumble.
Hey, man. That match was more interesting to me than the Kevin Owens Roman Reigns match.
Yeah.
Because at least I had no idea what the fuck to expect in that match. And rightfully so.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I thought Trinity was coming back during that one. So that's the other thing too about the Trinity coming back thing. Royal Rumble is a great time to just have that feel the glow entrance shit just pop up out of nowhere soon. It just like, it's one of those, Royal Rumble is one of those things where when you have a very unique entrance, it hits really well when you come out as a surprise entrance. So, yeah.
All right. So with Rollins addressing his future, though, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I need to ask you your opinion. This is an opinion-based question.
No, he's not going to AEW.
If Seth, you fucking badass though. If Seth has to miss Mania.
Uh huh.
Which we are thinking that's trending that way. Which scenario is more likely in your opinion? Cody versus Punk and Rock versus Roman gets pushed back to Mania instead of Chamber? Or do you think we still get to see Rock versus Roman at Elimination Chamber and it ends up being Cody versus Roman at WrestleMania and then Punk versus Damian Priest instead for the world title at WrestleMania 40? Because maybe one of the ways that they get the title off of Seth on Monday is by Damian Priest finally cashing in and becoming the world champion.
Why the fuck is somebody at my front door? Hold on a second.
Because the rumor is it's going to be Rock versus Roman at Elimination Chamber in Australia.
Yeah. Let me see what his... Because his injury, wasn't it an MCL tear? It wasn't an ACL.
Yeah, it's MCL.
The recovery time on that, he would be back in time for WrestleMania. Yeah, Seth Rollins is saying it's torn MCL, partially torn meniscus. The recovery time on an MCL tear is not nearly as long as an ACL, if I recall correctly. Like, we're talking about like weeks, like 6 weeks at max.
So you think this will be a swerve promo where he's acting like he's going to take time off and then he's like, no, I'm not going to.
No, I still think he might take time off, but I think he might, he'd probably be back in time for WrestleMania.
So you do think that he still drops the title?
I think, yeah.
You think this is a perfect time to get Priest the fucking title though?
You know,
though he's injured.
Do.
Everybody in the audience and everybody around the world knows that he's injured.
If
he's going to come back anyway, then we have Rollins versus Priest rematch at WrestleMania instead?
No, here's what you do. Depending on how bad the injury is and whether or not he's cleared to have any physical contact, have him out there about to drop the title. Judgment Day music hits. Damian Priest comes in and cashes in before he can fucking drop the title and just like targets the knee. He can even target the not correct knee. It doesn't matter.
Why doesn't Damian Priest wait for him to drop it and then just cash in and just get handed the title because there's no defender? there's no champion. Just give it to me.
That's so stupid.
Just give me the title, bro. There's no champion. Now I'm champ. I am the captain now.
I think that fucks with the lineage of the title in a way that's not good. But
I think it's hilarious. That's way better than the Charlotte Flair Becky Lynch fucking title swap. I think that's way more funny and makes sense, actually.
I think if you have Rollins come out and announce like he's about to drop it, Judgment Day music hits, Priest comes out, cashes in, and immediately just fucking targets the knee and then pins him. I think that goes a long way toward Priest being like a heel. It keeps.
Dude, about this? Because the whole thing was then possibly splitting Priest up from the rest of them anyway and turning face, right? Mm-hmm. What if, check this one out, if fucking Seth acts like he's going to drop the title and going to do it anyway, then baits Damian Priest to come out there and then beats Priest anyway and says, psych, because he's not going to be taking that much time off anyway, and goats Damian Priest into dropping his fucking Money in the Bank briefcase. Oh my god. And then Damien can blame fucking Judgment Day or whatever because y'all the ones that fucking told me to go out there because this would be the perfect opportunity to do this shit. And he was faking it the whole fucking time. That would be so good.
I think that if the goal of that is to turn him heel, you don't do it by making him look like a fucking idiot first.
But I meant turning face. All faces are stupid.
Yeah. I don't think the crowd would get behind somebody that just lost against an injured guy. Which is why you had so much.
They're gonna go for Damian Priest when he's beating fucking Finn Balor's ass at WrestleMania.
Yeah, maybe. But no, I think that if you want the belt on Priest and Seth is cleared enough to take a couple like bumps and chop blocks and shit like that to the leg. And again, you could do it on the leg that's not hurt. And I don't think anybody knows which leg it is. So it'd be fine. You haven't come out in like a full fucking brace or whatever on the wrong leg. And then have Priest target that. Because I don't think anybody has said whether or not it's his left leg or his right leg. And nobody's going to... People might go back and watch the footage and see which one he injured on the actual spot or whatever, but it doesn't fucking matter. Storyline-wise, it would still make sense. You have him cash in, target the leg, do the fucking pin, whatever, get the belt. So Rollins doesn't actually drop it, but then when he comes back, he can challenge for it again. You can do whatever storyline you want. Because if it's MCL, he's not going to be out till WrestleMania. Because WrestleMania is what, April?
Yeah, April 6th and 7th, maybe?
Hold on. Yeah, so even that early, you'd still have time. Like, MCL tear, like, even the worst
MCL
tear.
If it's 2 days again, 6th and 7th is a Saturday and a Sunday. So, yeah, I think it's April 6th and 7th.
Yeah, he'd have time to get surgery and recover, because recovery time on that, even like the most severe tear, recovery time is like 6 weeks, so he's good.
All right, that's all I got for the show, man. What is there anything that you want to talk about that we didn't really touch on? Any positive things that you want to talk about that you liked throughout the week?
I did have one thing that I thought was weird, so I kind of started talking about it earlier, but obviously Ospreay lost to Okada at Battle in the Valley because it's like, okay, here's Ospreay giving up the match before he goes, which ends up being weird because now Okada's leaving too, so who's he going to give up his match to on his way out? But
who's not leaving New Japan at this point?
Yeah, that's weird. But
I think the list would be shorter if you told me who's not leaving.
So the thing that I found weird about it is, have you ever had, can you think of any other time in wrestling history where somebody does their put the guy over on the way out match, but still has a match coming up that you know they're about to win? Because they're 100% winning.
We know they're about
to
win
the cage match.
Oh, Ospreay?
Yeah.
You think they're going to win that match?
Yes, I think I think they did. Ospreay losing is like his put the guy over on the way out match, but they're still 100% going to win the fucking cage
match. But that's because it's a lower show, though. Putting over Okada at
Battle in the Valley.
Battle in the Valley.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting. I couldn't think of another time where it was like, okay, well, we technically already have another match for you booked, but you have to do your going out on the bottom match, and then we'll bring you back in for that other one that you're probably going to win. I just thought that was weird. I was trying to think of any other time in wrestling like where that's happened, and I couldn't really think of anything. I was trying to remember Dean Ambrose's
last two matches. I can't do it in the same promotion.
What were what, What were Dean Ambrose's last matches? Because I wonder if his last one was like winning with the Shield, but maybe he did.
It was
the,
definitely one of them. I don't know if it was. I think it might have been his last match. That's when Rollins was crying on the stage or whatever with him. Yeah. And they all did the Shield pose one last time with the fists out.
Because I know that he did do the he obviously put over EC3 and stuff.
That was before that, I'm pretty sure.
God, it's fucking impossible to look up any Dean Ambrose shit at this point.
Back in Dean Ambrose's last WWE match. That's what I would do. I'm pretty sure it was the Shield match, though. Because they had, like, the whole pay-per-view was surrounded about that. Like, Michael Cole wouldn't shut the hell up about it. It was like the farewell to Ambrose or whatever.
But he did some house shows.
I do remember that being like a big focal point of the show or pay-per-view.
Oh, WWE Live, The Shield's Final Chapter was an online stream where they did beat Baron Corbin, Bobby Lashley, and Drew McIntyre. But okay. his last match was a last man standing match against Drew McIntyre on Raw that he did put over McIntyre. So yeah, I guess that does count. How the fuck do you have a last man standing match go 10 minutes? How did that happen?
That almost sounds like a burial on Drew McIntyre. Yeah. McIntyre buried Ambrose on the way out. Not put over. He didn't get put over. He buried that motherfucker.
And he beat him at fucking 9 different house shows before that. I mean, and beat him at a Falls Count Anywhere, too, on the fucking Raw before that.
Oh, Jesus, they were trying to kill him. They were trying to injure him on his way out so he couldn't debut right away for AEW.
Which he did anyway. He came in and beat fucking Juice for the IWGP US title. Okay. So I guess that is another comparable one. I was trying to think if there was anybody else who would like... Kind of the same thing. It's like your group match, so you want to go out with your group, and I guess that's the most...
Can we say that Hogan did it when Hogan wasn't world champion and then came out of nowhere and won the fucking world title of Yokozuna? he lost. He was on his way out, and then he came back and won the fucking world title. Technically, he was on his way out, dude.
I'm pretty sure that doesn't count.
Oh, come on. That counts more than anything. That man was world champ. Yeah. Man came out and said, "Don't worry, Brett, I got this." Don't worry, cleaner.
Yeah.
I got this, cleaner.
Cleaner, I got this, bro. That was so fucking funny when that was referenced in one of the backstage promos or whatever. I forget which one, but
somebody. All right, that was a fun show. A very positive show.
Oh, another fun fact. Okay. Do you know Okada's wife's name?
I looked it up actually, because I was trying to figure out what she did for a living that made her more popular. I didn't know she was an actress and singer and all that shit. So yeah, I do know her name actually.
Yeah, Memori Suzuko.
Yeah,
which is very close to Minoru Suzuki.
Suzuki, yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for the show. We appreciate everybody and all the new fucking subscribers for our YouTube channel this month, and hopefully we can keep it going throughout the year. We'll be back soon with our Royal Rumble prediction show. Prediction sure to be wrong and terrible, terrible confidence picks, but it can't be worse than the Wrestle Kingdom ones. That's for damn sure. So we'll do that sometime this week and post that up on the YouTube. Those are exclusive to our YouTube channel, so check those out. And we'll be back next week right here.